Yeah, that it is good to be with you, and it's always good to come to give a wee word of testimony to the saving grace of God in an individual's life. Now, before I would start my testimony, I'm sure there's some things you don't know about your minister. He was a bit like Nimrod. He was a mighty hunter when he was a young boy, something a little older than his Larry's eldest son now. And he used to go poaching pheasants way up in my county. You didn't know that about him, did you? Along with a brother of mine called Tommy. Now, how he got in touch with Tommy, I do not know, but both of them used to go shooting to County Fermanagh. Now, there is something I want to ask you to do for me as a wee congregation here. There is two young girls at this moment, and one of them lives in Hamilton's Bawn, a girl called Ruth. And there is another girl called Heather. And I would plea with this little congregation to pray for these two girls at this time. Ruth had a pretty serious operation last week, and Heather is going to start chemotherapy tomorrow morning. She has a tumour in the brain. Now, Ruth is a girl of 27, and Heather is a girl of roughly 47 or 48. And relatively, they're both very young women. And you pray that God will touch these individuals and that he'll raise them to fullness of health and strength. You know, sometimes we as individuals, we take our health for granted. And that doesn't matter how young you are, you know, if young person in the meeting. Sometimes we can take it warm like that there. That'll take us out into eternity. And I was in my home on Friday night. And I got a knock on my door. And an unsaved man came in and he says, "Albert, would you do something for me?" And I says, "Yes, I will indeed, if at all possible." He says, "Would you go and witness to my sister-in-law about Christ? The girl is sick." And isn't that wonderful when an unsaved man comes to your home and says to you, "Will you go and witness? Because I've heard her talking about that she's not a Christian and she needs to be a Christian before she dies." You need to be a Christian too, by the way, before you die. And you know, the scripture says, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And I'm not here to speak about religion. I'm here to preach Christ on him crucified. I'm not here to say that I'm a great chap, because I'm not. I'll tell you what I am. I am just an ordinary old countryman and an old sinner saved by God's grace. And that's a wonderful thing, to be saved by God's grace. I was just reading through my Bible yesterday in John chapter 4, and I was reading about the woman of Samaria. And you know, the scripture says, the Bible says that he must needs go through Samaria. And he encountered this woman at Jacob's well. And what did the woman say? "Give me this living water." Oh, that would be the prayer in my heart tonight, that you would ask for the living water from God. And it's only God you can get that living water from. You can't get it in the religion of this church or the religion of any other church. It's Christ on Christ alone. Now we're turning to Psalm 40, and we're going to read a few verses from Psalm 40, and hopefully, I don't have a watch on me, but hopefully we'll get out reasonably. We'll not keep it overly too long. Psalm 40 in the first four verses, and also the verse 8. I always use this wee psalm in my testimony. The first four verses and the verse 8. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. And then the verse 8 reads, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Amen. And we know that God will add the blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's have a brief wee word of prayer. Our loving God and eternal Heavenly Father, we do thank thee once again this night that we can bow graciously and humbly in the lovely presence of God. And we pray, dear Lord, that thou would give enabling grace. And, O God, that thou would take, that it would be of the arm of flesh. That thou will take, dear Father, and use this vessel this evening to thine own honour and glory. We pray, dear Lord, that thou will speak to me and speak through me. And we pray, dear most of all, dear Lord, ere there be one in this gathering that knows thee not as Saviour and Lord, that this will be the night that they'll come and put their trust in the Lamb of Calvary, that taketh away the sins of the world. For we ask it in his lovely and wondrous precious name. Amen. Amen. Now, I've come here tonight to give a wee word of testimony. And the unfortunate thing about giving testimonies is this. You have to start kind of at the beginning. And you have to go through your whole life as it was. But we will try to maybe cut that down a bit. And there's a lot of boys and girls in this meeting this evening, and I'm really glad to see you here. It's always good to see a church going on with God, but it's even better when you see young boys and girls in the midst of that congregation, because that tells you one thing, that there's a wee church for the future. And that's really good to see. I also have a great love for your little building here. I really, really believe that it's a real wee building that was built to the glory of God, and I would pray for you very much, and I pray and have prayed for your minister down through the years, and we do trust that the Lord will bless him, and I know that he's a humble servant of the Lord, and this I do know, that the God has promised in his word to bless those that are humble, not haughty, but humble. Remain humble in the sight of God, and I will exalt thee. And so it's good to be here. Now, boys and girls, there's something I want to say at the very outset. I was driving around County Tyrone the other evening. I have a daughter who lives down there. And I've noticed there's one thing I did notice, that there's very few houses you would drive by now that's wee small houses. All houses is mighty size. Now, in the time that I was a young boy, the size of some of you children here that's in this meeting this evening, that wasn't the case. Well, back in my time, when the families was mighty large and the houses was mighty small. Today, that has reversed. The houses is mighty big and the families are, by and large, they're not as large as what they were then. See, Mr. Salt here is keeping up with the good work. Hallelujah. But anyway, boys and girls, I was born into a family of 10. Now, I had three problems. I was born into a mighty large family. That was an awful problem. It was real survival from the word off. And secondly, I was born into a very small house. My house was two rooms and a kitchen. No back door, no electric, no running water, no toilet. So when I was a small boy, when you went to the toilet, you went outside. Now, you come inside to go to the toilet. So, you see the dilemma that we were faced with. And then I had another problem. I was born a very, very small boy. I was 3 pounds weight. My mama used to say she could put me into a large shoebox. And our incubator, the Doherty incubator, was the hob beside the fire. I wasn't put into one of these nice wee glass incubators in the hospital. And the midwife told my daddy, she says, if you expect that boy to survive, you better go and buy a goat immediately. So my daddy had to jump on his bicycle and away and buy a goat. And needless to say, this boy survived, and he done reasonably. I grew up right with. But there was another fourth problem I had, boys and girls. And this is a problem that affects everybody in this meeting. You see, the Bible says that Albert Dougherty was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And in sin did his mother conceive him. And so we tonight are all born with a sinful nature, whether we like it or whether we don't. And even we're saved, it's impossible not to commit sin in thought, word, and deed. See, the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So that's that out of the road. And now, the other good thing about growing up in a large family is the fun that you can have. Although it was quite chaotic growing up in the age that I grew up in, because there was very little sweets that boys and girls got then. You got a sweet on a Saturday evening, and that was your sweets for the whole week. And you could well imagine. And that sweet was a penny two divided, I think maybe between two or maybe three of children, and a big toffee chew. And that would have been your sweets for the week. But I was no different than any other boy and girl. And my mum and my dad, could I say this, my mum and dad, they come from two different backgrounds. My daddy was a Church of Ireland man. Needless to say, he didn't go that much. And my mum was a Roman Catholic woman. And my mummy changed her religion when she got married to my daddy. And she also became Church of Ireland. But there's something I want to say, point out to you boys and girls and young people. Changing your religion doesn't save you. You see, you could leave your own church and come to my church. But if you didn't come to Christ, you'd go to a lost eternity. But that's how it was. We grew up as a family, and I can remember growing up, and my mommy sending us out faithfully to, as young boys and young girls, to the wee Sunday school, and then to church, and you were sent along to the primary school, and we had to walk 2 miles, all 10 of us, to the primary school. And I can remember walking up the road. You would have never seen a car. I can remember walking up the road, and the snow was near enough. I was only head and shoulders above the snow, and that was the dilemma you were faced with, and you lived away out in the country. But nevertheless, we grew up, and we all done reasonably well. And as I read through the Bible the other day about this woman at the well, there was a wee thought came to my mind. You see, I can remember, for one vivid memory in my heart, there was a young girl came into our district to do, a young missionary girl came into our district to do tent meetings with boys and girls. And I can remember going along to them meetings, and I would have been about a boy of possibly 8 or 10 year old. And now I knew that there was something different about this young girl. I knew that this girl was very sincere, and that she experientially knew the Lord Jesus that she was speaking about, that she was trying to get it across to the boys and girls. You see, boys and girls, believe it or not, can tell when a person is sincere about what they're trying to get across. And we need to have a really good love in our heart for the folk that we're going to win for Christ. And this young girl was very sincere, and she had, I think, a fortnight's mission. Needless to say, I didn't get saved at them meetings, and I can remember I didn't hear the gospel again for a long time. I think it was 1985. Oh yes, I had been to various different churches, but I had never come in contact with the gospel again until they came a tent mission to a place called a place where me and our brother Salt lived in Annick Moore. And there was various different speakers at that mission, and I went along to hear them. And there was a thing happened in my life during that mission, and I will reveal it to you a little later on. And but we grew up, and like all young people, we all grew up, got married, moved away from home, and this, that, and the other thing, and grew up and had our own wee families and one thing and the other, and got into various different bits of employment. My employment was, shortly after I got married and moved to County Armagh, I joined the full-time Ulster Defence Regiment. I couldn't join where I was. I was going to join where I was, but down in Fermanagh, but my daddy, he tore the application form up, and he says, it would just be like committing suicide, and so it would, because I lived right on the edge of the border. And I joined the Ulster Defence Regiment in the late 70s, and I remained there until I'd done 28 years service. I just finished there in 2006, and seen some horrific things over them years. And there's one thing I want to say to you now, and I know that we all have various different political opinions on these things that's going on in Northern Ireland at the minute. I would say to this little congregation, never ever you to desire in your heart for to see violence return to the streets of Ulster again. Have you seen some of the horrific scenes that he who stands before you today has seen, and seen the futility of it all? Aye, and it doesn't matter what religion the people was. When you see a dead body and they be blew into pieces, that's a terrible tragedy, you know. Well, that's man's inhumanity to man. But anyway, I was telling you that I didn't hear the gospel again until this mission came to Lanarkmore in 1985. And I had been going along to this mission, and I had come under conviction. I can remember it well, a big man called Harvey Shaw preaching the gospel in it. And there was an incident happened. There was a chap died. He used to be our milkman while that mission was going on. And I had said to our platoon sergeant one day, says I, could I get a few, would it be possible that I could get a few hours off to go to a funeral? And he says, Albert, now he says, I can only let you off if you guarantee me that you'll be back at 5 o'clock to go on guard duty. And I says, now I'll do my utmost to be back for five. And needless to say, when I went home to get ready, my phone rang, and unknown to me, there was another guy from the platoon as well. He'd got off, and he says, Albert, I'll drop round and pick you up, and both of us will go to the funeral together. And so we headed off to this funeral, and when the funeral was over, this other chap says to me, we'll go in here and have a game of pool into this local public house. And unfortunately, we went in, and one drink borrowed another, and we couldn't. Needless to say, we didn't turn back for duty the next day. And we went in the following morning, and we were hauled up in front of the commanding officer. And I don't know whether you're aware of it or not, but the army system is totally different than civilian. And when you do a misdemeanor in the army, you're punished very, very harshly. And the commanding officer gave us a week's detention. That's a week's in jail, military custody. And by the time I got out of that military custody, the mission in Lanarkmore had gone over. But I didn't know, you see, that a sinful life would always remember this, there's three stages in sin. It takes you farther than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, and costs you more than you want to pay. And unfortunately, even in our home, when we were 10 young boys and girls growing up, my daddy had an awful problem, and it was alcohol. And alcohol, you see, is a curse. You see, the old saying is, a son will do what he sees his father do it, and vice versa. A girl will do what more than likely her mammy will do it. But these sinful practices, before you know it, they'll take a grip of your life. You see, alcohol will so grip your life. Oh yes, if I didn't tell you that I hadn't great nights in public houses, I'd be telling you a lie. But Then, I would also need to reveal to you the heartache that it was causing in the family home. But I can remember one night shortly after I got out of this military detention, I was sent up to one of her offices in the camp, and this woman stopped me in the corridor, and she says to me, "You're Albert Dougherty." And I says, "That's right." And she says, "Oh, you're from County Fermanagh, aren't you?" And I says, "That's right." She says, "Well, tell me this, you don't know a man called Barry Johnson from County Fermanagh?" And I says, "I know a councillor called Bert Johnson." "Well, I don't." She says, "This fellow's an evangelist." And I says, "No, I don't know him. I know of him now. I might have heard of him, but I've never met the man." So it turned out that one night my wife used to remain a couple of children for a girl next door, and she happened to be a believer. And she happened to be in my home one night, and I happened to get into a discussion with her, and says, "I, Claire, tell me this, in all these missions you've been around, have ever you come across a man called Barry Johnson?" She says, "No, Albert, I haven't, but I'll let you know sometime if I hear tell of him being anywhere, I'll let you know." So that was it. A couple of months went by, and lo and behold, and she arrived down one Friday evening, and she says, "Do you remember that man Barry Johnson you were talking about?" She says, "He's over in a wee place called Gibson's Hill." And she says his wife Pat is giving her testimony tonight. That was on a Friday evening. So anyway, the wife and me decided we would go along with this woman to this mission. And I can remember it yet. Bertie led the meeting, and his wife then gave her testimony. And she was a converted Roman Catholic. And a wonderful, wonderful woman, a wonderful story. And it was very interesting to notice that this girl heard the gospel once, just the once, in her life. And the one time that she heard the gospel, she responded. And she trusted Christ as her Saviour and Lord. And I'm possibly in a Protestant church tonight, and you possibly have heard the gospel, maybe dozens, maybe hundreds of times. And as yet, you haven't trusted Christ as your own personal Saviour. So that was on a Friday night, and coming out through the door, Bertie and me got chatting, and then he asked me the inevitable question. He says, "Albert, are you saved?" And I says, "No, I'm not saved." And you know, there's one thing, if you're not saved, well then there's only other thing that's for you, you're lost. The scripture says we're either saved or we're lost. And then he got into a great discussion with me about what I worked at, and I told him. And he says, "Albert, you stand a 50% chance more of getting taken out into eternity than the average man in the street." And he wasn't telling me anything that I didn't know, because at that particular time I had walked behind too many coffins to know of my comrades. And but he said these words to me. He says, "Albert, now think about it. Think about it. I'll plead with you." And I went home that Friday night, and I went to bed, and needless to say, I didn't get a lot of sleep. And the Holy Spirit had started striving again within my life. And I can remember them words, even in the middle of the night, going through my head and went through my mind. Think about it. You could be taken out quicker than somebody else. And that was so, so true. And I come home from the camp on Monday evening, and I says to the wife, says I to Hazel, "Get ready and we'll go to that mission." Now we're in Gibson's Hill. I can remember it yet. I went in that Monday night, and that was on the 28th of April 1986. And our brother Bertie Johnson preached on Luke chapter 16 on the rich man and Lazarus. And I honestly didn't believe there were such things in the Bible. You know, because here was me. I come from a Protestant home and wasn't even a Bible in it. Yes, that's right. My daddy was up in the Orange Orders and this, that and the other thing. But I would never recall a time when we as a wee family bowed in prayer. But there was one thing. When I was a wee boy, my mama used to send me in the summertime over to a Roman Catholic house called Cox's for a wee sweetie can of milk. And because that's the type of neighbours you had at the end. We all helped each other out. And that was a kind of a, just a survival. And I can remember many's a time going into that family home, the Coxes, and them all down on their knees saying the rosary. Now, I know the rosary's wrong, but I'll tell you what it is. You see the example they were setting. And here was me coming from a so-called great Protestant home. My daddy upstairs, Oxters and the Orange Orders and this and the various different organisations, and never ever sat down with one of his children and told them the proper way to heaven. You know why? He didn't know himself. He hadn't been told. But I can remember that weekend, and we went back and barely preached on the rich man and Lazarus. And I honestly thought the man was crazy. But before that meeting was over, God really, really took a deal in my life. And I couldn't come out of the seat that I was sitting in that night in that meeting. And I can remember I come out, and he said, if you're concerned to go to a wee inquiry room, and I headed for the wee inquiry room. And before Bertie had finished dealing with me in that wee inquiry room, there came a knock on the door. And the door was opened, and who was it? It was my wife Hazel. And now, Hazel was totally different than me, because Hazel always had been a very church-attending person, and very kind and very good, whereas I was the opposite. I was a tearaway. But here, at 9:25 at night, in an old wooden forum, in that wee hall in Gibson's Hill. Now, if you were to drive by Gibson's Hill Hall, if you blinked, you'd miss it. And it's anything but a very nice sight. It's just a wee shabby hall. But that's the wee place where Albert Dougherty met the Saviour and his wife. At 9:25 at night, on the 28th of April. You know, Paul, Saul on the road to Damascus, he was fit to testify to King Agrippa. And at midday, O King. You see, Saul of Tarsus got saved at midday. And Albert Dougherty got saved at 9:25. And the scripture says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And then you see, when we get saved, we're saved to serve. And shortly after God saved me, I can remember reading through the book of Leviticus one night, and the Lord really, really exercised my heart about starting a free church in our locality. And that wee church was opened on the 10th of April 1988. To the glory of God. And you see, isn't it wonderful the way God can take an old weak vessel, a cast out, and use him to the extension and to the glory of his own kingdom. I, as an individual, I've had the great joy of sitting with many boys and girls in the wee Sunday school in Ballymagerna and leading them to Christ. I had the great joy of leading my own daughter, Sharon, that's now living over in Wales, to Christ. I've had the great joy of seeing my other daughter, Esther, saved. I've a young boy that's still outside the family of God. His name's Kyle. He's a real good lad, but he's not saved. And I, as I said tonight, at the start of my testimony, I wasn't here to preach religion. I'm here to preach Christ and Christ alone. Why? Because he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And it doesn't matter in this meeting this evening. I know we all look different, with some of us larger than others, some of them older than others, but when God looks down upon this meeting this evening, he sees two types of people. There's those that's saved and unsaved. And I wonder this evening, are you in the family of God? It doesn't matter what your condition is this evening. God forgive and forgive you for your sin. When he forgive me, he can forgive you. When he forgives Saul of Tarsus, he can forgive you. I can remember having the great joy, even in the army camp, of leading precious souls to Christ. I led as one of my own sergeants to the Lord. And that was great. And I've had the great joy of witnessing to various different types of folk, including Mo Mullum. Mo Mullum came in one day on a fly-in visit to the army camp in Portadown. I believe she's regretted coming because she got in that discussion with me, and it was very shortly after that Belfast Agreement and all was signed. This is going back a right number of years ago, and her and me got into an awful debate, and there was 200 in the room. And but nevertheless, she was a very forthright girl, you know. And but I witnessed to her about the Lord, and I hope and pray that she's in heaven today, you know. And you see, the Scripture says God's word shall not return unto him void. The Bible also tells us not to fear their faces, and it doesn't matter who you're put up against. Oh, that we need to be bold for the Lord in these days. You know, there's a lot of folk out there that think that they're mightier than God, but you know that we are but a wee dust. We are but a wee bit of dust, a wee speck. And I trust tonight that if you're unsaved, that even this night that you'll come and trust him to know his life eternal. Amen. Hand back to the devil's